It's time for the Biblical Prophecy Program with your host, Dr. Alan Kirshner of Eschatos Ministries.
New creation eschatology. We got heaven wrong. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Biblical Prophecy Program. Before I begin the program, I want to remind everyone that I currently support my family through this ministry. So if you benefit from this program or other resources at Eschatos Ministries, please consider supporting us by becoming a ministry partner, which is giving on a monthly basis. And you can go to alankirshner.com and sign up, or I will also leave a link in the show notes to the ministry partner page. And what we're doing is we're doing a special promotion for the year 2025 coming up. We're looking for 25 new ministry partners, which again is giving on a monthly basis. We're not asking for 2,500. We're not asking for 250. We're asking for 25 new Eschatos partners, which again is giving on a monthly basis. So the topic of this program is, again, we got heaven wrong. And I understand why that might seem a bit of an overstatement or dramatic, but it actually isn't. And you're going to see why that is not the case. I am going to be starting a series called New Creation Eschatology. Now, I'm not going to every week give an episode or an installment of this series. I may have some interspersed episodes between this series, but the series is going to take a while. In fact, it may be even 30 installments. I'm not sure, but each of them in one sense can, I'm going to try to have them stand on their own. But it would be good to listen to them in order. And what I'm doing is I'm going to be going through. It's kind of more of a more than a book review because I really am excited about this book by Michael Vlack called The New Creation Model: A Paradigm for Discovering God's Restoration Purposes from Creation to Creation. And he has a lot of just excellent insights into this book on how we have really, the church has really got away from a biblical conception of what heaven is going to be like, you know, when we die and in the future. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave a link, an Amazon link to the book, again, The New Creation Model by Michael Vlack. And each episode, I'm going to be going through a chapter. And again, it's not going to be, you know, I'm probably going to be taking, you know, breaks and talking about other unrelated topics with this series. So it's more of an ongoing series, but with the freedom of being able to address other topics other than the book, we'll be taking breaks. And today, I'm going to be going through the introduction of the book. And the preface and the introduction. So the book is, it's published by, let me double check again here. It is published by the Theological Studies Press out of Cary, North Carolina. And Michael Vlack is a professor there at Shepherd Seminary, that is. And I believe if I'm not mistaken, I think the press is an offshoot of the seminary, but again, I could be mistaken. And I highly respect Michael Vlack. He's a great teacher. He knows how to teach in a very conciseful, insightful manner. And we agree much more than we disagree on. He is pre-tribulational. I'm not, of course, I'm pre-wrath. But we do agree on we write on similar topics. He's excellent on premillennialism, on the future of national Israel. And of course, this topic that we're going to be addressing is the new creation model, because pre-wrath eschatology also affirms a new creation model. Now, and we'll see, we may not agree with every aspect of maybe what Vlack understands as a new creation model, but we pretty much agree on a lot of it. And so basically, I'm using his book as a springboard to bring to the consciousness of the church out there on this topic. And again, I have to stress that this is not merely some academic knowledge. This is really exciting. And when you read something in the Bible, you learn something in the Bible that's exciting, it should inspire us to love Jesus more. It should inspire us to live a more righteous life. And it should, because we know more clearly where this world is going, where our personal destiny is going, and what God is doing in redeeming a real creation, again, restoring a new creation. So this is a very exciting book, and that's what I want. That's why I want to walk through it chapter by chapter, and not go through it quickly, because, and I'm sure many of you guys will appreciate what is contained in this book. So let me just note here the contents, and then we're going to get in. I want to note some preface and introduction, and then in subsequent weeks we will be getting into the individual chapters. So there is five parts to the book. Part one, introduction to the models. So there's different models of conceiving this issue of, you know, spiritual versus a physical or new creation model. You have part two is the new creation and spiritual vision models explained. Part three, the models in history. And really the first three parts, I think, are the most important of them all. I think the models in history is very illuminating for sure, because it will show how we have moved away from a biblical conception of the future. Our future understanding and the nature of how God is going to restore the earth. Part four is on millennial views and the models. And part five is the theological systems and the models as well. So in other words, this last chapter is on, or this last part of the book is on dispensationalism and the models, covenant theology and the models, progressive covenantalism and the models, new Christian Zionism and the models, and then there's a summary. So it kind of brings things together in terms of how do the larger theological models relate, or how do the larger theological systems relate to the new creation model. So in the preface, he opens up with a quote by Daniel Block, which he says, quote, "Christians often view the world and the scriptures from an anthropocentric, man-centered perspective, as if human beings are the center of the universe and everything exists for them. And that God has engaged in a project that is vastly God has engaged in a project that is vastly greater than human population. And Vlack says that Block is, he's on to something here, because our focus, and again, not to minimize this, that can't be stressed more, is, you know, we've often focused on our personal redemption, you know, how we should live a godly life. And of course, Vlack recognizes and emphasizes that this is, of course, very important. But then he asks the question, Vlack asks the question that, well, aren't there other larger, bigger purposes in God's plan that's more than our, you know, individualism, and more important than spiritual, that is, our spiritual individual salvation. And, you know, premillennialists have often stressed that, look, we, you know, God's purposes, the restoration is going to be concerned with, you know, God's redeeming the dirt outside of my window here, right? The land, animals, nations, society, culture, friendships, Flack says, homes, farms, agriculture, and many other areas. So in other words, he quotes Acts 3:21 regarding, you know, he says, what if the coming, quote, restoration of all things in Jesus actually extends to everything? Imagine that Jesus is not, you know, when he says restoration of all things, it encompasses so much more than our individual spiritual salvation. And if we really believe that, how would this change our perspective on life and the future? And of course, it should greatly. This, he says in this book, Flack says he sets out to show that, focuses on God's purposes, his plans, through basically two different lens that Christians have conceived over the centuries. What he calls the new creation model, I mean, that's not his particular term, but that's a term that we have used. I believe it was Craig Blasing, if I'm not mistaken, who coined that term in relation to premillennialism. So he shows the contrast between the new creation model and the spiritual vision model in terms of of our future reality and eternal life, and how God works from Genesis 1 through 22. And what he says here, let me quote Vlack, he says, the ideas behind each model have influenced how Christians have understood the Bible's storyline and the nature of eternal life. The spiritual vision model emphasizes individual and spiritual issues, and a spiritual existence in heaven apart from earth and anything related to our current experiences. And then he goes on to say, but this new creation model asserts that in addition to the individual and spiritual, God is working to restore every area of creation. And eternal life is embodied existence on a restored earth where God's people live and thrive in his presence and experience vibrant social and cultural interactions with each other. That is to say, he says, this life is not a divorce from everything we experience now on earth. And then he goes on, he says, you know, this is the abundant life God created for us, not a transporting to a purely spiritual realm of existence. So the destiny of God's people is related to how God structured them and the realm that they placed at creation. And later he talks about how the new creation model, it helps Christians to consider, he says, all of God's creation, kingdom, and covenant purposes. And again, including the earth, land, nations, culture, economics, agriculture, nature, natural resources, the animal realm, inanimate creation, trees, fields, social political realities, technology, and just anything involving our environment. That's the new creation model. And we have moved away from that, because if you go into so many churches today, especially more covenantal theology churches, or even just, you know, it doesn't even have to be covenant theology. It can be just your general evangelical conservative churches. Basically all you hear is, you know, all about our individual salvation. And again, that's wonderful, but that's not all of God's planned. There's just so much more, but it's practically ignored. And in fact, talks about how understanding the new creation model it's profitable and it's exciting. And he quotes Romans 8:18 for, you know, when Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So it's much more than what we have often considered in the church, even for centuries. So moving on to the introduction here, he opens up with a quote from Craig Blazing. This is on page 5 of the book, in the introduction. He says, Craig Blazing says, "In the past couple of decades, many theologians have come to embrace what I call new creation eschatology. New creation eschatology believes that the eternal state is not a heavenly, timeless, non-material reality, but a new heavens and new earth, such as in Isaiah 65, 2 Peter 3:13, and Revelation 21 and 22. The dwelling place of the redeemed in that new creation is not in heaven, but on the new earth." So in the introduction, Michael Vlack talks about his own upbringing, his own story, his testimony of how he became a Christian. And what's interesting about the story is that it's very similar to many of us and many other Christians for decades and maybe even hundreds of years. And he talks about his religious upbringing. For example, his mom and dad came from generations of Roman Catholicism, and Vlack attended even a Roman Catholic grade school. And he said that, he says, quote, "Consistent with Catholic theology, my religious views of eternity were very spiritual." He said, "Well, I thought the purpose of life was to be a good person, follow what the church taught, and then someday live in heaven forever, which would be a spiritual existence in another realm." And then he talks about when he was around the age 11, he was in the kitchen and he asked his mom what heaven would be like. And she said, quote, "Heaven is where we will live in God's light forever and have great joy that is indescribable." And so Vlack's memory of this, which is the memory of practically all, many of us, if not all of us, you know, growing up in an evangelical church or Roman Catholicism or another denomination or sector of Christianity, he says, "What I picked up as a boy then was that heaven would be the spiritual experience. Nothing of earth or anything tangible would be there." So it's this tradition that we believe that, you know, time would not exist, as Vlack says. And then heaven is this out of this world experience, far from anything, quote, we encounter now. And of course, he reaffirms that his experience is nothing new. This was the culture, the society that many professing and possessing Christians, right? And then he cites like how in culture, you know, you see, you know, you're influenced by television shows and just the culture all around us, even the books out there about heaven. And he even mentions with Saturday morning cartoons on television, characters who, quote, they died and they're depicted as ghost-like figures and they go off to the Netherland, right? Well, this is the spiritual vision model he talks about. And he says that, so, quote, "So even before studying the Bible, I possessed a strong presupposition that God's purposes were spiritual and non-material." That's the operative term there, non-material. That's the idea. Isn't that true, though, when we think about heaven, or at least, you know, how we grew up thinking about heaven, that it was, all of it was non-material. That is out there somewhere, right, in this timeless world. And Vlack will later critique that very strongly, effectively, where he explains how Plato and theologians like Thomas Aquinas have polluted or corrupted the biblical conception of God's purposes, of the biblical picture of heaven on earth one day. And he says, quote, "What my mother described about heaven being a realm of light apart from earth was much like the imperium light-filled heaven idea taught by Aquinas and presented in Dante's famous Paradiso," which of course we will cover that later. So his book is, Vlack's book is a major critique of the spiritual vision model. And again, this is not so much a critique against covenant theology or amillennialism, but it's a critique of the larger presupposition within so much of Christianity out there, which of course includes covenant theology, but Roman Catholicism, and again, even like general evangelicalism, that they have a wrong conception, an unbiblical view of what God is doing. It's very simplistic, and it's short-sighted because God is doing so much more. And the lens of the spiritual model, when people have this lens of the spiritual model and they approach Scripture, they don't see the beauty, the kaleidoscope of what God is doing to redeeming the world in all these aspects of society. Vlack also says he remembers a church choir director state that, you know, we're going to join the heavenly choir in heaven. And Vlack says he imagined himself in a long choir robe singing in a never-ending church service in the sky. That's so true. That's the conception that I grew up to within the IFB movement. I grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and that's the conception of heaven, that somehow it's going to be this never-ending church service in the sky. So, in fact, Vlack talks about that there's certain lines from the old rugged cross that says, "Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share." That's just unbiblical. Those are unbiblical lines, this idea of far away. And he says at funerals, he said he said, quote, "I heard we would join our departed loved ones in heaven forever, and those who died reached their final destination. Once in heaven, no person would ever want to return to earth." Wow, that's so true, but it's so untrue, right? So he says, quote, "In short, I adopted an evangelical view of salvation, which was important, but my ideas concerning God's big picture purposes and eternity remained the same. Talks about the future were vague. I was taught that the earth must be annihilated. God's people in eternity would be a generic humanity with no distinctions. The idea of animals existing in heaven was not even considered. I did not think much about God's plans for earth, land, animals, culture, society, or nature. I did not consider how God was moving in history with nations, Israel, and ethnic groups. I had no idea what the day of the Lord was about. I thought the kingdom of God was only about salvation or God's reign in my heart or the church," end quote. Wow, that encapsulates the unbiblical picture that we have of the future, or our the unbiblical picture of our conception of what we have been taught. So Vlack notes that, you know, he's not the first to discuss this. Many have gone before him talking about the millennial nature and the future, not just the millennial nature, but the eternity as well. He gives credit to Alva McLean's book, The Greatness of the Kingdom. And he says that, you know, that McLean argued that that Christ would reign over everything. Jesus will transform culture, society, and the political realm. And that this is key, that Jesus will fulfill God's mandate for man to rule and subdue the earth. So in his book, he talks also about the influence of Plato, right? I mean, covenant theologians, I believe, are more influenced by Plato than the Bible. He notes other, like Craig Blazing and others, and I also want to note that, and there are other books out there. I want to note also a forthcoming book. So it's December 9th, 2024, and this book will be out in the early part of next year. And it's called What on Earth is Heaven Like by Janet Willis. As far as I'm concerned, this book is one of the best books coming out on the new creation model. Vlack's book critiques kind of more the theology behind the new spiritual vision model. Janet Willis will actually give a lot of concrete biblical description of what this is going to look like. That kind of wraps up the introduction there. And again, his main thesis of this book, The New Creation Model, is that he's not only just critiquing the spirit, this false, unbiblical notion of you know, what happens when we die and then we never come back to earth, or just kind of this amorphous idea of heaven, basically. The spiritual, everything's just non-material, spiritual. That's it. That's all the Bible. Don't even try to understand the future, our future reality, basically. That's what the spiritual model is. But he replaces it with the biblical notion, the biblical understanding of the new creation model. And the book really will open your eyes to how much the Bible really does talk about a physical restoration from Genesis 1 to the end of the Bible, at the end of the book of Revelation, in which, you know, the garden is not some immaterial, like, it's real. It's real. Like, physical is not bad. It's a good thing. God made the physical world. He called it good, and he's going to call it good again. The spiritual should not be opposed to the physical. And that's another aspect of Vlack's thesis, is that they shouldn't be pit. It's a false dichotomy. Whereas the main idea of the spiritual vision model out there is that, yeah, they'll admit, okay, yeah, our resurrection bodies, yes, that's physical. But even then, they kind of have, it's like, it's out there, right? It's not a real existence on earth. And interacting with a new physical creation, with animals, agriculture, all this, it's a sad reality in which you're kind of robbing God's people of the beauty of the future and the hope and the glory of what God is doing when you just have this small lens of what God is doing. I hope that's been helpful. And again, this is going to be an ongoing series interspersed with some other types of episodes in this podcast. And I'll just call this series, I'm not going to do like part one, part two. I'll just call it like New Creation Eschatology, and then I'll have a subtitle in the episodes. And so next time is we're going to be talking about New Creation Language in Scripture. That's the title of chapter one. Again, if you'd like to support this, not just this podcast, but the ministry, Eschatos Ministries, please consider becoming a partner, a monthly giver. And if you want to get a copy of this book, I will leave a link in the show notes. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.